Okay, boys. Today's daf is daf Kif Ayin Beis. We're holding the third line from the top of the Umid.
Okay.
Amali Rabba Rava Bar Rav Shila is another gear. So Rabba Bar Rav Shila. La no kasvi shtora akniyosa. To those that write shtore mikna or makna. Ki kasvisu shtore akniyosa. Iadisu yoyim te knisu bei. Soivu or kisvu. Timloi kisvu yoyim de kaimisu bei. Until now we've been speaking about the fact that you have to be careful about the dating of shtarois, so that you shouldn't have a shtar muktam or a shtar mu'ukher. Shtar muktam according to everybody is posel. Shtar mu'ukher we had yesterday a machloikis, whether we have a problem. Normally we think shtar mu'ukher is not an issue because all you have is the malva waiving his rights to assessing liens on properties by agreeing to a later date. But if you remember, we spoke about yesterday that if you're talking about a shtar halva'a, or perhaps even a shtar miknur makna, you can also have a problem. How can you have a problem? If you write a shtar, for instance, in Nissan, the transaction took place in Nissan, but you post-date the shtar for the marshal 6 months later, Tishrei, and he lent him the marshal $1,000 on a Shchodesh Nissan. In Tammuz, Baruch Hashem, the person was able to get together some funds. He paid off the original loan. The lender does not have the shtar. He can't find the shtar. Iches li shtar. You give him a shoivar. Shoivar is dated for today in Tammuz. Then it comes Tishrei time. You have our lender taking out the shtar again and saying, hey, it's a brand new shtar. It has a Tishrei date on it. You got to go and pay me. I got a shoiver from Tammuz. That must be from another loan, because it cannot be that you have the document post the date of the shoiver of the receipt. So therefore, a shtar me'ukher is also problematic. What our Gemara is telling us now is not by shtari halvor, but regular shtari akniyosa. Shtari akniyosa means that you're being makna. For instance, Rishbam says you have a case of a person giving a matana, or even a case of a shtar mecher, and even a shtar mecher sheyesh ben achrayis. What's the halacha over there? I'm not concerned about trifas lekuchos. For instance, if I'm going to go and write a shtar, and I'm not exactly sure exactly when the transaction took place, I remember, sometime last week, maybe 2 weeks ago. Go and write the date of the transaction if you know when it took place. But if not, go and write today's date. Now, what's the whole issue over here about writing the earlier date? Anytime that you're going to write an earlier date, l'chor you have a shtar muktam situation. If I'm writing today, on Thursday, today happens to be the 19th day of Tammuz. If on today I'm going to go and write in a shtar last week's date of 10th day of Tammuz, or Rish Chodesh Tammuz from 2 weeks ago, that's a shtar muktam. Shtar muktam, we got a problem, because you might go and try to go and take from Lukuchoy Shaloi Kedin. And even if the halvah, if this were a halvah, even if the halvah took place 2 weeks ago or 10 days ago, nobody knows about the halvah. What is Moitzia Sakol? The shtar is Moitzia Sakol. And therefore, if I'm going to go and write out a shtar today, and predated for a week ago, 2 weeks ago, even though the transaction, the halva, the loan took place a week or 2 weeks ago, still, I can have a situation where the lekuchos will be disadvantaged. Why? Because people bought properties in the interim. They asked, anyway, do you know anything about halva? Well, no, I didn't hear anything. No, I didn't hear anything about a loan, garnished. So they assume that there are no outstanding debts, and therefore they're assuming that they have free title on these properties. There is no lien outstanding. Oh, now if we're going to predate the shtar, I'm going to create liens. 10 years from now when the loan matures, nobody will remember about the fact that it was predated. Nobody will know. And therefore I'm going to go and take away from the kuchay shaloi kedin. But here I'm not talking about a shtar halvo. Here I'm talking about a shtar hakno'o. I'm being makna to the other person a field, a piece of property, either b'matona or b'mecher, or even b'achrayis. And I know that this sale took place 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, and I now predate the shtar. I'm writing the shtar today on Yutes, but I'm writing out the shtar for the actual date of the closing, which took place, Lamoshel, on Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. That's already close to 3 weeks ago. Is there a problem with that? Well, halachically, there really is no problem with it. Why not? Because I'm not concerned, like the situation of the shtar halvoa, that nobody heard about it. Here, by the shtar aknoa, everybody is assumed to have heard of it. What's the difference between halvoa and aknoa? Because by halvoa, people are secretive. They don't want the public to know that Yankel is so desperate for funds, he had to go and borrow money from Beryl. It's embarrassing that he has to go and borrow funds from somebody else. Therefore, we keep it quiet. What's Moitzi Yisakol? The shtar with the signatures, that's Moitzi Yisakol. And therefore, once again, if you're going to go and predate the shtar, you might take away the lekuchos, you might take away from the lekuchos shaloike din. However, by shtar hakno, explains Rishbam, people want the Welt, the world, to know about this sale. Why do people want to know about it? Because the purchaser wants everybody to know that I am now the new title owner of this property. And from now on, if I'm going to be here for 3 years and I'm going to have Edim, it's going to be mine forever and ever. People want the news to get around that the property was sold. That being the case, the two Edim themselves at the time of the original transaction are Moitzi Yisakol, even before ink is put on the paper. So the fact that I go and predate the shtar 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, makes no difference, because the koyel already went out at that time when the transaction took place. So then what's the whole concern over here? The whole concern is, says the Gemara, ki heichid l'mischazi ki shikra. Even though I'm not worried about lekuches, I'm not worried about financial implications, but I am worried about the fact that people should be very careful about signing truthfully and not signing with the appearance of impropriety or an inaccurate date. So again, he told to those that write out shtori mikna, meaning a shtar in which you convey property, when you are writing those shtaris, if you remember the exact date when the transfer took place, kisvu, then write the date. But if not, kisvu, then write today's date. Why don't you write up an estimated date? Maybe 3 days ago, 6 days ago, eight. No. If you don't know, write today's date. Otherwise, it looks like a sheker. It looks like a falsehood. And similarly, says Yimar, Amlu Rav Lisafre, Rav said to his Sofrim, V'chein Amlu Hu Rav Huna Lisafre, Rav Huna said to his Sofrim, Ki Kaimisu Bishili, Kisvu Bishili, V'yaf Agav De Mesira Nechu Mili Behini, Ki Kaimisu Behini, Kisvu Behini, V'yaf Agav De Mesira Nechu Mili Bishili. Hini and Shili were two twin cities. I don't know if they are as large as Minneapolis, St. Paul, or Dallas, Fort Worth, but they were all, Budapest was actually one city. These are talking about two twin cities. Dallas, Fort Worth, or Minneapolis, St. Paul, those are twin cities, but they're not the same city. Budapest is one city. It's divided in between by the Donau, by the Danube, but nevertheless, it's called Budapest, not called Buda. But anyway, regardless, so these are very, very, very two close cities. So very often a person would commission and request a soifer to go and do something whilst he happens to be in Shili, and the soifer doesn't get around to it until he travels to the other side to Hini, or vice versa. So what Agmar is telling us is, when the soifer is writing out the shtar, regardless of where he was commissioned to write out the shtar, where he's actually sitting when he's writing out the shtar, that's what he should go and write in the shtar itself. Like the Gemara says, Rav said to his Sofrim, Rav Huna said to his Sofrim, Ki kamisu b'shili, if you are now in Shili, kisu b'shili, write in the shtar that this shtar is being written in the town of Shili. V'yavagav the mesir l'chumili v'hini, even though the original request and the commissioning of the writing of this shtar was in Hini, write Shili, because you're now in Shili. And same thing, Ki kamisu b'hini, when you are sitting in Hini and you're writing, kisu, write in the shtar the word Hini. Even though you were asked to go and write the shtar out in Shili. Now the Gemara doesn't say why, but if you see in the Gemara there's a Gimel. The Gimel takes the Maseres HaShas, and the Maseres HaShas says again the same thing as before, Ki Heichi, Person looks at the shtar right after the soifer is finished. Just finished writing the shtar. It says in the shtar, shilis. We're not in shili, we're in hini. Or it says hini. We're not in hini, we're in shili. So therefore, it shouldn't look like a sheker. Write out exactly where you are sitting at the time of the writing of the shtar. For those of you that are really interested more about hini and shili, second Tosis speaks a little bit about it. Hini v'shili kroy v'zu l'zu. L'achin nokat. Shafilu b'shtei ayores kroy v'zu l'zu. Kisvu Hashem me'er. Shetamdu ba b'shas k'siva. Even though one happens to be one next to each other. Manhattan and Brooklyn are very, very close. However, if you were asked to write the shtar in Manhattan, and you're writing it in Brooklyn, or vice versa, write it in the place where you are sitting whilst you are writing it, as opposed to where you were requested to write it in the first place. So, Gemara writes, Omer Rava, Hayim man denoket shtara bar meyazuzi, the Omer shavya nili trei bnei chamshin chamshin, loy meshavin alo. Now this sounds like a very, very simple thing. Person has a shtar of 100, and he says to Saifi, you know, do me a favor, just like if you have a $100 bill, you want to go and exchange it for 250s. Instead of one shtar of 100, give me two shtaris for 50-50. Now, why would he ask for two shtaris for 50-50? It could be either the malva or the loiva, that they're thinking that this loiva is not going to pay the full amount of 100 on the day of payment.
Solves the whole problem of a shover.
Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly what we're trying to address. It sounds like it's a good idea. This way, I don't have to worry about, do I have to tear up the old shtar? Do I have to give my shoiver? Do 250s instead of 100? And wonderful, now I have two separate shtars. Amar Rav, Ahim Adonok, Shtar Bar Meizuz, if he has a shtar of 100. The Omar, and he asks now the soifer, do me a favor, exchange this $100 shtar for two shtars of 50-50. The Omar, Shavye, Nihili, go and exchange it for Trey, B'nei Chamshin Chamshin, two of 50 each. Loi Mishavin, no, we don't do that. Why don't we do it? My time of the Rabbanan Milsa Denichalele Malva Nichalele Loive. Holding on to a shtar of 100 is beneficial both for the Malva and for the Loive. How is it beneficial? Nichalele Malva Kadeshi Yaakov Lepoirai. We had this already, this concept yesterday and the day before in the Mishnah, that we want to have at least a subtle amount of pressure on the Loive to pay up the other 50. So we tell him, I cannot give you the $100 shtar because you only paid 50. I'm going to give you a shoiver. And the lady is going to say, what happens if I lose a shoiver? Well, you should have that headache. Yes, you should have that mental distress that you have to be nervous to hold on to the shoiver and not to lose it, because pay up the other 50. As soon as you pay up the other 50, we can get rid of the shoiver, we can tear up the original shtar. So we want it to be a subtle form of financial pressure, and that's why it's good for the malva not to exchange the $100 shtar for two 50s. And if also the nichal aloiv, it's also, there's a benefit to the loiv too. Ki hechi denivkam shtarai, so that there should be a pagam in the shtar of 100. What means a pagam in the shtar of 100? So Rishbam quotes a gemara that we have, Masechtas Ksubas, legabe a lady that has already received part of her ksuba, which the gemara refers to as poigemes ksubasa. The word pagam, of course, means some sort of blemish. The blemish over here we're referring to is that this was a $100 shtar. By the fact that it's been partially paid, now it's only a $50 shtar, if you will. And the halacha is poigemes ksuvasa leitifra ela b'shavua, meaning that once a person has partially paid a shtar, and you go over to the malva and say, malva, I paid you on this. Malva says, you paid me 50, but you didn't pay me 100. Aha! Make a shvua. That's the halacha of poigem shtar or poigemes ksuvasa. So therefore, there's a toive for the loive when this shtar has been partially paid. The loive does not have to reap, doesn't have to pay the second installment unless and until he can force the malva to go and make a shvua.
Isn't that the motive of mitzvah? Shouldn't the shvua fall on the loive? I mean, the shtar says the loive paid half. It's like a motive of mitzvah.
It's a drabon. It's not a deraisa. The Yomar Rava, and Rava now says the reverse as well.
It's interesting though, the premise that we've had up until now is that if there's a balance of power between the Lova and the Malva, we push our thumb on the scale in favor of the Malva.
For sure.
And that's right.
And that's going to shiok on the pirate.
But here he's balancing out and he's saying, no, don't do it because there's benefits and burdens to eat both the Lova and the Malva and it's equal.
Mm-hmm.
And usually we think that
Evid Leish Lovah.
Evid Leish Malvah.
You're doing fine.
Yeah. So here you would expect that as between the two, we would favor the Malva.
And we do. Your point is very well taken. What the Gemara is saying is, if we have to balance out equities, for instance, what was the Gemara discussing yesterday? Who am I more concerned about? I'm more concerned about the Malva losing Ishtar, or more concerned about the Loiva? I'd rather go and have the Malva have Ishtar and not be so concerned about the Loiva losing Ishtar, because, as you say, the equities are in favor of the Malva. But that's when you have a choice between the two. Here we're saying, you don't have to make a choice. It's good for both of them. Retaining the $100 star is good for both. He gets the benefit of the subtle financial pressure. He gets the benefit of Poygim Star to go and force the Malva to make. The Yom Rav, now Rav
Shmur is such a chumra thing. It's a disincentive for someone to accept partial payment on a debt, because they'll say, I don't want to accept partial payments. I'll have to swear to collect the balance.
Yeah, but if in fact it's true and he has the star and it's another 50, so he's Baruch Hashem swearing truthfully, he doesn't have a falsehood over here.
People don't want to swear, they'd rather pay than swear with him many times.
I agree with you. But what the Gemara is saying is, don't go and exchange 100 for 250s, because by doing the 100, you're benefiting both parties as opposed to disadvantaging. And in fact, the Yom Rav, and now you have the reverse case. What happens if a person has two separate $50 notes? The Yomar, and he asked the Soifa Shavina Nili, please go and merge them, combine them together, and give me a $100 note. We don't do it. Why not? Because with the identical svaras that we had before, but in reverse. It's much better for him not to be paid with the shtar. If he has two separate shtarois and one of them is paid up entirely, then the loyve cannot force him to go and make a shvua on the second shtar, because there was no pigam in that second shtar. So therefore, if he happens to have two shtarois of 50, leave him with the 250s. Don't go and exchange it for 100. As far as the loyve is concerned, there's also a benefit in retaining 250s, and that is, if he only pays a 50, then he doesn't have to worry about a shoiver. We take away the second shtar, one of the two shtaris, tear it up, keep one shtar with the original malva, so he doesn't have to worry about a shoiver, he doesn't have to worry about a pagam, so each one of them has a benefit. So therefore, either way you go, if you start off with 100, don't switch it for 250s. If you have 250s, don't switch it for 100. Ravashi, Hayman the Nokishtar Bar Meyazuz of Yomer Shavinu Nili Chad Bar Chapshin. You have a Malva that has a shtar of 100, and what he's doing seems to be a nice, gracious thing. What is the nice, gracious thing? He goes over to the Soifer and says, Soifer, you see, I have a shtar of 100. I want you to switch it for me for a shtar of 50. And we're going to tear up the 100. Just give me another shtar of 50 instead of the 100. So the Soifer probably thinks to himself, the Malva apparently was either paid off after it, or he wants to waive his rights to the other 50. Yeah, a good guy. He wants the shtar 50. The Soifer should not write out a shtar if he doesn't know the entire fact situation. Why not? My time. Amrinai Mifra Pare. Skonzaim, the entire $100 shtar was paid in its entirety. The Amalei have the shtaroi. And of course, the Levi said to the Malva, no, give me back my note, give me back the shtar. The Amalei irchisli. And the Malva says, I can't find it, it's lost. Ukasav Leitavari gives him now a shoiver. And what does the receipt say? The receipt says that you paid the full amount of the 100 on this shtar, dated, etc., etc. And this is your receipt. And now, Mapik Lehai, if what's going to happen now, if the Soifer is going to exchange the 100 for a 50, so now, a week later, a month later, the Malva will take out this $50 shtar in Bezin and say, hey, you didn't pay me on the $50. And you're going to say, what are you talking about? Here's my shoiver, here's my receipt. But the receipt says that it attaches to, it's a Kabbalah for a $100 shtar. There's no $100 shtar, it's a $50 shtar. So you owed me originally $150. You paid me $100, but there's still $50 to go. No, pay me on the $50. He'll say, this is a brand new loan. Therefore, not to get into these possibilities of deception, rather, don't go and exchange $100, even for a $50, even though it sounds like he's doing a good thing, he may in fact be doing a very bad thing. And now we go to a new Mishnah, Dr. Mishnah. Shnei Achin, Echad, Oni, V'Echad, Osher. We got two brothers. One is Nebuchad, a poor fellow, one is a rich fellow. V'niach Len Avien, Merchad, Su Beis Abad. And the father left over as part of his estate a Beis HaMerchad, a bathhouse, or Beis Abad, and an olive press. And then it depends on what the character of these two things was originally. Jacques de Mishnah, Asan Lischar, if this was for commercial purposes, in other words, they rented out the Merchitz to people that wanted to bathe, and they rented out the Beisabad for people that wanted to go and press their olives, and this was a commercial enterprise, then Aschar Le'amza, they should continue using the Beis Merchitz, the Beis Abad, like their father used it for commercial purposes, and let them subdivide and allocate the profits between the kids. Asan Le'atzmei, whatever, this was a private individual who had his own private Beis Merchitz or private Beis Abad. Hari Osher, Imali Oni, Kachla Avodim, V'yichatzu B'merchitz, Kachla Choseisim, U'boi Vasei V'Beis Abad. Neither of the two can force changing the character of what this was when the father was alive. And so therefore, if this was a private type of thing, then the Oishi can go and say to the Ani, I know, Ani, you wouldn't mind going and renting it out and making a couple of dollars. No. I want to keep it in the same way that it was in father's rishus. The time that he was alive, he used it privately. We'll continue using it privately. If you're going to tell me, well, who's going to go and heat up the base of Merchitz? No, kachl chabadim, go and take some servants, let them go and heat it up, and you'll use the base of Merchitz for you and for your wife and for the family, for the mishpucha, for your friends, but don't go and use it as commercial enterprise. Same thing is, we have over here a base abad, kachl chazesim, go and buy some olives, uboy vasev a base abad, and go and use it a base abad for your own private needs, but I don't want to make this into a commercial thing.
Why don't they divide the value of it in terms of value, the money?
If they decide to go,
decide what they want,
that's fine. If they split it up and he takes a base Americas, he takes a base of bad, that's fine. It could be that there are many other nechassim here too that the Mishnah doesn't mention. Could be he also had other properties. Absolutely. If they go and split it up, then whoever receives the Beis Merchitz, Beis Abad, they can do with it whatever they want. Absolutely right. But the moment we're talking about that they're continuing to hold it as part of the father's estate, they're not subdividing it. As long as B'toich Tfusas Abayis, neither side can force on a new character to what this served for during the time of their father's lifetime. And now we talk about something similar or something a little bit different. A famous situation that we find in the Gemara from time to time, the famous Yosef ben Shimon. What's the matter, Yosef ben Shimon? Shnayim shehayu be'ir achas. Two people together in the same city. Shem Echad Yosef ben Shimon, v'shem Acher Yosef ben Shimon. There were two Yosef ben Shimons in the same town. Of course, it doesn't have to be Yosef ben Shimon. It could be Reuven ben Yaakov. The two people had the identical names. Ein yichon lahoytzi shtar choyv ze al ze. Neither of them can force the other one to go and pay on the shtar choiv in best. Meaning,
they
cannot borrow from each other, and they cannot lend to each other. We're not talking about 30 parties now, we're just talking about each other. Why not to each other? Because if, for instance, the first Yosef ben Shimon comes into Bez and says, I am the Malve, here is my shtar, you, the other Yosef ben Shimon, owes me the money. The other Yosef ben Shimon says, it's just the opposite. I am the Malve, you're the Loive. The reason why you have the shtar is because I gave it back to you after you paid me the money. But I don't owe you money, you owed me money. And therefore you can see how this can get quite complicated. Therefore, no such thing. No such Yosef ben Shimon against the other Yosef ben Shimon. Forget about it. But what about on?
Can they extend and use their grandfather's name?
We're going to talk about that in a moment. Zok the Mishnah Vayter v'loy acher yochel lohitzi aleim shtar choyv. Also, nobody else in town can go and lend them funds and say Yosef ben Shimon owes Reuven, owes Shimon, owes Levi money, because if Yosef ben Shimon signed such a shtar, and now I go to Yosef ben Shimon, hey, Yosef ben Shimon, you owe me the money. What do you think Yosef ben Shimon is going to say?
It's the other guy.
It's not me, it's the other guy. Exactly. So they can never be the signers on these types of notes. They can never be the loivis. They can be the malvis. They can go and lend money, but they cannot go and borrow funds from the local townspeople if there is another Yosef ben Shimon.
Excuse me, in the Lova, not just the Adam sign, but also the Malva and Lova sign as well?
What difference does it make if they sign or not?
Sorry?
What difference does it make if they sign or not?
Because many of the things we had before involved a malva, two shtaros, chamishim, everything. I was in the impression it's just the edim that are signing.
Fine, that's great.
And if the loga is signing, you can say, hey, there's is 250. I'm not signing the second one. All these cases where the Chazal were
favored. So you're going back to the earlier Gemaras.
In the early Gemaras.
Well, the assumption is that it was not actually written by the Malva or Loiva, but rather it was written by a Seifer and a Tu'ed. Exactly. We did have a case a few days ago of someone who signed it himself, but that's generally not the cases that we're talking about. So here too, if Yosef ben Shimon happens to be one of the borrowers on a shtar, and it says in the shtar that Yosef ben Shimon borrowed $100 and Tu'ed him signed on it, and now we go to Yosef ben Shimon and we'll pay. Yosef ben Shimon says it's not me. Go to the other side of town, it's the other Yosef ben Shimon. This, although of course the exact same name is not that frequent, but similar names is not at all unusual. I have in Muncie on Martha, we have two cats families. One lives across the street from the other, and there's constantly mail going to the wrong party, to the wrong cats, because this is Mr. Benzion Katz and this is Mr. Chaim Katz. Both of them are Kahanim. Both are wonderful, wonderful people. However, the male often gets confused because both names are cats.
How do you know the Kohanim?
How you know the Kohanim? Because they're both Dichen and because they both get Elias for Kohen.
I thought you said because cats,
Kohen Tzedek. Exactly right. Anyway, getting back to our Mishnah, and the Mishnah continues on, Nintel Yachad ben Shtarois of Shtarois Shol Yosef ben Shimon Perua, Shtarois Shnei Perua. If a person finds among his Shtarois a Shtar that Yosef ben Shimon owed him money, and this is among those used shtoreis, where it's perua, it's on the pile of those that have already been paid, then you can assume, shtoreis shneim perum, that the shtoreis of both Yosef ben Shimon's are paid. On the surface, the Mishnah seems to go and contradict itself. We just said now that you cannot have a shtar of Yosef ben Shimon owing money. Why? Because maybe it's the other Yosef ben Shimon. So how does it say in our Mishnah, Nintzel Echa ben Shiroisev, he has a shtar of Yosef ben Shimon that says that it's paid? We'll talk about that in Yetzim in the Gemara. Rishbam says, the Gemara Mefarish. And the Mishnah continues on, Keitzad Yasu. Now we address Barry's suggestion of about 2 minutes ago. If both of them are called Yosef ben Shimon, why don't you go and say, well, one is Yosef ben Shimon ben Avruam, the other one is Yosef ben Shimon ben Yitzchak. In other words, go back further generations. Kate said, Yasa, what should you do? Yishalshu, Einachanami. That is a good Eitza. The Eitza is not only to write in the Shtar Yosef ben Shimon, but to add Ben Avram or Ben Yitzchak, etc. But what happens if Moyu Mishalosh? What happens if, in fact, both Yosef ben Shimon's have the exact same Zayd as well? Yosef ben Shimon Ben Avram. So both of them are exactly the same. And Yoel's in Satmar. But you also can have this even in quote unquote Litvish families or non Lubavitch and non Satmar families, where you have Einiklich, both are called the same name like the Zayde.
Right.
So you can have mutual. You have we have over here on the west side Heshi Lieberman's wife. Her maiden name was Miriam Palik. Two blocks away, she had a cousin, Miriam Palik. Why? Because both of them were daughters of two brothers. One was Avram Pinchas, who davened here. One was Lev Yitzchak, Zichroinim Levrach, who davened by Rabbi Lemberger, Zichroinim Levrach. So therefore, two brothers had two daughters. Both of them had the same name, Miriam. Why did they have the same Miriam?
Named after the same,
Baba. And then, whenever it came Shiduchim, it was terrible. Why was it terrible? Because someone would suggest a shidduch for Miriam Palik. Ah, but she got the shidduch. What do you mean about the shidduch? Not true. I don't know anything about it. You don't know? It's from the west side. It's not from the west side. Alivi in the Einik Lech and Seren Shiruv. Exact same description. They were more or less the same age. And it was kind of confusing. You have the same thing over here in our Mishnah. Baruch Hashem, they found wonderful shidduch. But they were, even my wife's Zangazint, she has a cousin also with the exact same Yiddish name, and they also caused a certain amount of confusion. But anyway, all of that is just evidence that this happens even bisman azat, the Mayim Mishaloshim, if it happens to go three generations, what can you do now? Yichtevo Simon, and you should go and write a Simon as to what this person's appearance is. Rishbam says, Lemoshel, if the person is a gut, he happens to be a shorty. Or a lovan, he happens to be overly white. A gichar, another type of special special attribute, I guess, a physical attribute, or the other one happens to be especially tall, or he has a dark complexion, whatever. If you have certain simanim that you can identify, one, oh, the Yosef Mitzvah, the Shvarzi Yosef Mitzvah, the Vasi Yosef Mitzvah, the Hoyche, the Kleine, the Nidrike, the Shmula, whatever, then write in those simanim. What happens if they happen to be exactly the same simanim? They're both shorties, they're both tall guys, they're both white, both black. What do you do now? Yichtavu Koyin. Should go and write in that this is Yosef Mitzvah HaKoyin, this is Yosef Mitzvah HaLaivi. So we see two interesting side notes from our Mishnah. One side note we have is that the Mishnah says, V'mhoyu Mishuloshim Yichtavu Simen. Why did the Mishnah say that we go to the Zaydis? I have a much easier answer. Let it go and say, this is Yosef ben Shimon ben Sprinzer, and this is Yosef ben Shimon and ben Chana. In other words, what about the mother's name? Why don't we put that in the shtar, right? In two Yosef Shimons, it would be unlikely that the mother's name are the same. It could be. But just like you're saying, go to the Zayda, why don't you go to the mother?
It sounds like a Mori ben Rachel, the Gam situation. Maybe there was a family.
But he wrote Yosef ben Shimon and, same Yosef the son of Shimon and Sprinzer. And this is Yosef the son of Shimon and Chana. So the Chasam Sofer writes, the reason why the Mishnah doesn't give that suggestion is apparently because the names of the women were not well known. After all, especially in the Haim, even today in many, many circles, you don't call a married woman by her first name. You just go and say, Mrs. Smith, Mrs. Greenberg, Mrs. Rosenberg, etc. You don't go and call her whatever, Adina or Zahava or whatever her fancy name may be, or Sally or Nancy. And that being the case, if you're going to go and write in the Shtar, this is Yosef ben Shimon ben Sprinzer. I don't know. I have no idea what Shimon's wife's name is. I know it's Mr. Shimon. I don't know the name of Sprinzer. Since this is not well known, that's why they didn't put that in as a Simon. Another thing that you see from this is that it was not common to go and write in the fact that he was a Kohen. Because why does the Mishnah give this as the final way out? I can't figure out grandfather. And I can't tell from good and from tall and short. Okay, throw in the word Kohen. Why didn't you write the word Kohen initially? Think Tzachos, it wasn't that common. And so Rav Rick, who I'm learning with in the Koil, told me that there was a story not too long ago where they wrote out a ksub and they left out that Yanko was a Kohen to Levi or whatever. And he said, people said, oh, maybe the shtar is not kosher. They left out the fact that he was a Kohen. So you have a raya from a Befurish Mishnah that in fact it was not required to write Kohen. Because if this is part of his name, what is the Mishnah saying? Oh, by the way, if you can't go and tell because of the Zayt, then you can't go and tell Simonim, then add the word Kohen. Why are you adding it? Shouldn't that have been, he should have written it out in the Chachilla. It's the Chassidim that... Exactly. So apparently this is not part of the name, it's just descriptive. It's a wonderful, wonderful attribute. I'm jealous of all the Kahanim that they are Kahanim or Levim, but nevertheless, it's not a necessary part of the name. You can write a name without the word Kohen and it would still be a good shtar. As well as Mashiach, the Nunz and the Mishnah. Halacha L'maaseh, of course, you have to look it up in Shulchan Aruch, and we go to the Gemara Zot Yomara, who started in Norfolk, Bibbeidina Virafuna. There was a shtar that was in the Bezer of Virafuna, the Havik Sivbei. Ani Ploini Bar Ploini. Zatkiz in Tripshol, Foot Lachaim, Shulam, and have us in mind in the holy places.
Sure.
Yeah? You'll be back after Tisha B'Av?
I'm not sure.
You think you might be back before?
No, I'm not going to travel.
So, Mitzvah Master Tisha. Okay, so it won't be right here. There might be a few days. If Mashiach comes in the meantime,
we'll join you.
We'll join you.
Mitzvah exactly. Shem.
Make sure you give it.
Of course
you will. Mitzvah Shem.
And even though Rav Shaul is leaving today, will not be able to join us in person on Monday. He's already given a generous check to co-host the Siyam on Monday. Yeshakoyech Rav Shaul.
Okay,
Mazel Tov to you too. When you come back, fest in Sanhedrin, right?
Seeing course.
Okay, so go back to the Gemara by side. So the Gemara tells us that there was a shtar that came up in Rav Huna's Besed. Now, typically your shtar would say that Reuven owes Shimon money. Here, however, we had what we call today beer shares, or giving a cash check. You write out a check to Mr. and Mrs. Cash. What do we mean? It says in the Shtarni, Ploni ben Ploni. I, Reuven ben Yaakov, Yosef ben Shimon, owe Levisi mana mimcha. Now, not that there were two Yosef ben Shimons. There was only one Yosef ben Shimon, only one Reuven ben Yaakov. He writes in the Shtar, I borrowed money from... He doesn't say from Shimon or Levi Yehuda, I borrowed money from you. what we call today an IOU note. Doesn't say who the U is. IOU. Pliny Bar Pliny owes money mimcha. I borrowed money from you and I owe you the money.
So now,
the bearer of the note. So the bearer of this note comes into Bez and he wants to get paid on this note. Amar Avuna said, mimcha, if it says you, it could be anybody in the world. Afilim Reish Kalusav, Afilim Ishova Malka. Explains Rishbam two pshatim. One pshat is that this is a positive thing, and one of this is a negative thing. Meaning, you could say, it's a bearer note, it's a cash check, whoever is the bearer of that note or that check, he is the owner, and we assume that he's the owner and he's going to go and get paid. That's one way of looking at it. However, the Rishbam rejects this. Rishbam says the other way around. Because it says mimcha, meaning it could be that the bearer of this note who's coming into Bezin is not the real owner of this note. He found it in the street. It fell down. And it was originally, it belonged to Reish Kalusa, Shava Malka, the janitor, the doorman, or anybody. Anybody could have lost this shtar. And therefore, until you can prove that this person owes you the money, I have to be noivis that you found this shtar in the street. The Gemara is going to say shortly, Chayshinon Linefila. Therefore, if you don't have any other evidence that belongs to you, I will not force the loivis to go and pay you on this shtar. If you look at the top, Rishbam, Amar Rav Huna Mimcha, Mashma Filim Reish Kalusa, Kaloimar, Shem Reish Kalusa, Oy Odom Acher Hilveyu, Venofel Mimeno, maybe it fell to the ground, but it's also, and you found it! And therefore, I will not allow, or I will not enforce Tishtar against the Loive, since you may not be the real Alba. Back to Yimam Amalei Rav Chizda L'Rabba, Poik Ba'ayin Bo'la Art. This is a very, very interesting Shaila. Therefore, Rav Chizda suggested to Rabba, go and do some research. Go into the, so to speak, the law library. Go and take out the Gan Shulchan Aruch and the Gan Rambam and all the Chivas and go through it in great depth. Because Rav Huna is going to ask you what your view is about such a shtar, which is literally an IOU without identifying who the U is. So what did Rabbi do? Dok v'yashkach, and he said, I found a shtar which is similar and parallel to our situation. What shtar was that? The same state in the price. Get sheyesh olav edim, the ein boy zman. There are edim, but there is no date in the shtar. If you remember, Rishbam tells us that this is one of the shloisha gitin psulim, which lechadchila don't use this shtar. If you miss this, if you use it, avlad kosher. What are those three? Kosev chsad yodoy, the ain olav edim. Yesh olav edim, the ain boy zman. That's our case. Yesh boy zman, the ain boy ella eid. Echad, all three of these shtaris, lichat chila, are possible. The yevet avlad is kosher. Reb Elazar, however, disagrees. Reb Elazar is the famous Eide Mesira Karsi, and he says, Avo Pisha ain olav edim, even if there are no edim at all. You give it in front of Edom, it's also kosher. And the case of Eshtar Choyz, the Goy Min Achosim Ishu Bodim. Because Ein Edom Choyz when Allah get Elam Nei Tikkun HaOlam. We're afraid that the two Edom Mesira may travel away, they may pass away, etc. We may forget who they were. Best thing is, let them go and sign on the Eshtar HaOlam Tikkun HaOlam. So it should be for good remembrance. We should be able to remember in years to come who were the two Edim. We'll be able to call them up and ask them questions, etc. And explains Rishbam. The same way that Rebbe Lozer says you don't need kosher Edim, you don't need any Edim on Eshtar. If you have Edim, we had the other day, you have to be careful, it shouldn't be Mizuyach Mitoichai. But you don't need any Edim whatsoever signing a Eshtar. The same way you also don't need a date on the Eshtar. Why don't you need a date on the Eshtar? Because I don't really care what it says in the shtar as much as I'm going to ask the Edom. Edom, do you know whether this get was given? Of course, with the Edom Asira, we were there. We were appointed. In fact, at the time of giving out the get, somebody announced on the microphone, first following person is a Masada Gittin, and these two people are the Edom. Sounds familiar, right?
Sounds like Kedir also. Yeah,
right. And Sheva Bruchas, right? Never. We're making a joke, but the get is a very sad situation. Yeah. Anyway, but Lamasa, for some people, it's a very happy situation. It depends. Okay, back to Yimar. So what happens over here? So you have the two Eidim Asira. Just like you're going to ask Eidim Asira, is this whole thing true? And they'll say, yes. We'll also ask him, when did this happen? Oh, I remember very clearly. It was Thursday morning. It was right after the Daf. We were there. Sure. It was Daf Kuf Ayin Beis Masechta Bava Basra. So just like we're going to ask them about the Kashrus and the whole transaction of this get or this shtar choyb or whatever, according to Belozer, well, one of the questions we'll ask is, what's the date? So therefore, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, this can go according to Belozer. Now, what I told you now is really the maskanas of Gemara, but this will make the discussion very, very straightforward. So we found now a get. And the get says, get sheyesh olav eidim ve'im bo'izman. There is no zman. If it says in the get, I gave the get to you today, and of course by writing today, that's not very helpful. We know what today is, but by tomorrow, today is yesterday. Yesterday, today is tomorrow, right? It all depends on when this was written and when you're looking over the shtar. But Abishol says if you wrote in the shtar, Hayoim, it's kosher. It's interesting. You didn't write as man, but you did write that this happened today. You just wrote the word today. You didn't write Yud Ches, Yud Tes, or any other day in Tammuz, or any other day of the year. You didn't write it was Thursday. You just wrote today, Kirashtia. It's kosher. What do I see from this Abishol Zalacha? Alma Hayoim, Ahu Yoima, the Nofik Bey Mashma. That the word Hayoim means the day that it went out, so to speak. Is Hachanami Mimcha Mehu Gavra the Nothing Mitusa Yode Mashma. Just like the word today works, even though there is no Zman. So what does today mean? Today means the day that this was written. So here too, when you have an IOU, who's the U? The U is the bearer of this shtar. So these are, in a sense, parallel, even though it's not crystal clear from the shtar itself what we're referring to, but what it's referring to is the day that this was written. So what is this IOU referring to? The guy that's the you that's bringing this shtar for payment. So aren't they the same? Can't I bring a raya, says Rabba, from that Mishnah and from the halacha, from the Brais and the halacha of Abishol, that this would be a kosher shtar, and this beer of the shtar will be able to collect on this note.
What is the Lova saying? I mean,
the Lova is denying it. Amalei Abaye, the Dilma Abish.
And he's saying, I wrote it to who? So who is you then? I mean, this is not in a vacuum. The Lova is presented in court. Mr. Lova, Mr. You here wants to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
Lova says he's not the bear. So who is? So where's the Lova? So what's the?
I don't remember. It's not him.
There has to be a context here. I mean, the Gemara is talking in isolation of other relevant details. A Bezdin isn't just saying, okay, that's it, case settled, that's it. I mean, there's a Shaklev, there's Rishabah Hakira, there's a Shaklev Tarya.
You're absolutely correct. Each time these Gemaras are only telling the excerpt for the important halacha that we want to learn. There could have been a 10-day trial going through all the ups and downs, backs and forths. As far as the loiv is concerned, the loiv says, Lav bal dvarim didiyat, I don't know who this guy is, I never met him in my life, doesn't belong to him, I never borrowed money from him, I wouldn't borrow front money from him, I wouldn't even look at him.
It's an unusual start because the Lova says I owe you, so the Bezdin has to say to him, so who is the Malva?
I don't remember. But it's certainly not him.
No,
forget, the burden of proof is on the other person.
Yeah, he has a star.
The Gemara says Chashin Lanafila. That's what we're going to see in another moment. Therefore,
should have never been written. Exactly.
It should not have been written in this form. And then we could have gone home 10 minutes ago.
Right.
What can you do? Amalei Abaye says, Rabba, good try. After all, Abaye is giving respect to both his stepfather as well as his Rebbe, his uncle. The Dilma Abishol could have belonged to Sphere Lady, the Amra Edim Sira Karsi, Abulhacha Lechish Lunafila. Says Abaye, Rabba, I don't think that this is a concrete riot. Because when Abishol said that when you write Hayoim, the reason why this Hayoim works is because you don't even need the Hayoim. You don't need a Zman at all. Because this goes according to Belozer. Just like Belozer says, you don't need Adam, you don't need a Zman. Alamai, you're going to tell me, so why do you write Hayoim at all? Says Rishbam, they wrote Hayoim to show that this is a bona fide, real transaction. Because if he doesn't write Hayoim, and he just hands over the shtar to his wife, I don't know when he wants this shtar to become effective. Does he want to become effective today? Next week? And 3 weeks from now, after all, you can always attach a tanai in the shtar and say, I want this to become effective in a month from now. You even have the situation of Mahiyoy Malach HaMisa, that should be chal a moment before his death, etc., etc. So the point is that it's gotta say the word Hayoim just to give it the context that this is a real, live, effective shtar that I'm going to enforce starting from this moment, the moment that the shtar or the get is being handed over from husband to wife. But it's not because you want to establish the date. I don't need the shtar for the date. I'm going to go and ask the Eidei Mesira if and when this becomes an issue. Therefore, Jokta Chabayet, if that braisa of Abishol goes according to Blazar, then it has nothing to do with us, because over here, Hacha, here the problem is that the you can be anybody in the world, and therefore Lechon Lefila. Maybe the beer of the shtar has nothing to do with the shtar, he just found it lying around in the street, it fell from the real owner, from the Reish Kalusa, Shover Malka, or any Tom, Dick, or Harry, I'm sorry, I didn't mean Harry, just Tom or Dick or anybody else walking down the street, and therefore, bottom line is, Leichish and Afila, I'm not going to go and pay you, which is exactly what Rav Huna said at the top of the Amud, he's not going to go and pay on this shtar. Amalei Sarabba said, Nafila Chashina, I disagree with you, Abaye. I'm not Choshish Mishum Nafila. I mean, not Tehmed Leichashin Nafila. How do you know that? Now look at our Mishnah. Shtei the Mishnah, Shnaim, Shoyu Beir Achas. Shem Echad Yosef B'Chivin. Vishem Acher Yosef B'Chivin. The two Yosef B'Chivin. Like we said before, because I don't know who's a malva, who's the loiter. And you cannot go and be moitzi shtar choiv on either of them. Meaning, if the loiv is identified in the shtar as Yosef and Shimon, each Yosef and Shimon say, I was not the borrower, it was the other guy. Now let's be medayik. Hoheim alachirim yecholim. However, they could be the malvin. In other words, a Yosef ben Shimon lender can go and produce a shtar and bezin and say, you gotta go and pay me. Maybe it belongs to the other Yosef ben Shimon. If it belongs to the other Yosef ben Shimon, he would be coming in bezin, not me. The fact that I'm holding it is a Shimon that it belongs to me. Freit yet Rabbi Tobai v'amai leiches l'nefila. Maybe the first Yosef ben Shimon had this shtar. He walked down the street and it dropped on the floor. He couldn't find it. And then the other Yosef ben Shimon found it, and now he is the phony malve because he found the other Yosef ben Shimon shtar, and that's why he's demanding payment on the shtar. So why am I not nervous about that situation? Why do I say no? If Yosef ben Shimon brought it in, it must be his shtar. So you see, I'm not worried about Nefila, and I allow for Yosef ben Shimon to collect on his shtar. Of course, this raya is not a 100% convincing raya, because there's a difference between one Nefila and the other Nefila. In the case of I owe you, where it says, I owe the money to you, and it doesn't identify who the you is, it's a beer shtar, or a cash check. The question is, if it falls on the ground, is it possible for a note or a check to fall on the ground? Sure, people lose things all the time. That's why you always have lost and found. And almost every day I go by by one of these lampposts and somebody's dog or somebody's cat is lost, and they're willing to give a major reward for the dog. And sometimes there's a beautiful picture. There's a lady that gave $25 million for a dog. No,
She left it for a dog.
Nebuch.
She was lost.
Nebuch. A good dog. A cat.
But does it go to the dog's brother? Or
That's a good question. Anyway, so lost and found, that things get lost, people lose things all the time. The question is who found it. So in the case of the IOU, anybody in the world could have found it, and anybody could pick it up and say, that's the you means me. So therefore, Rav Huna says, maybe it's you, or maybe it's him, and maybe it's her, and maybe it's somebody else. It could be anybody, one out of 3 billion Indiana Chinese guys in the world. That's a separate issue, where we're trying to go and show the distinction between the case of our Gemara and the case of Yosef ben Shimon. Rab is saying, from the case of Yosef ben Shimon, I see I'm not choishish l'nefila. Because if I'm choishish l'nefila, how can Yosef ben Shimon go and demand payment on his shtar? Maybe it's not his shtar. It belongs to the other Yosef ben Shimon. Shimon. So why didn't the other Yosef ben Shimon bring it into court? Because he lost the shtar, says Rabbah. Maybe Taka doesn't belong to Yosef ben Shimon A. It belongs to Yosef ben Shimon B. And the reason why Yosef ben Shimon A is bringing this shtar into Bezin is because Yosef ben Shimon B, unfortunately, forgot the shtar. He lost it. He misplaced it. Somehow or other, it's vulgaring, it's wandering in the streets. The other Yosef ben Shimon found it, and therefore he's not the real Yosef ben Shimon, the Malva on the shtar. Says Rabbah, but I see I'm not nervous about it, because our Mishnah only is concerned about the Yosef ben Shimon being the Loive, not the Yosef ben Shimon being the Malva. Why? Because Lechashim and Nefila. So what Abai is saying back to Rabbah is you cannot compare the two cases. In all cases, we are choshish lenefila that somebody dropped it. The question is, who found it? In the case of the IOU, anybody in this world might be that you. And therefore, you cannot rely on the bearer of the shtar that he happens to be the real, truthful, honest-to-goodness owner, because maybe he had absolutely nothing to do with this malve. The reason why he's holding on to this shtar, or this loive, the reason why this so-called malve is holding on to this shtar, because he found it. And the shtar says you. Says Rafuna, that's unreliable. Says Abaya, unreliable. You cannot go and pay him unless he can bring two Adam that he's the real you, and the money is owed to him. Mashenkin, the case is through Yosef ben Shimon, it's very logical that you're going to say that Yosef ben Shimon, who bears the shtar, is the real owner of the shtar. Because what are you afraid? Maybe the other Yosef ben Shimon lost the shtar. Then how did it get to this Yosef ben Shimon? Pinked! Yosef ben Shimon A dropped it, and Yosef ben Shimon B found it, or vice versa. I no problem with Yosef ben Shimon losing his shtar, but then Reuven could have found it, and Shimon, and Levi, and Yehuda, and Yisachar, and Zvulun, and Yankel, and Merrill, and Shmerel, and Smith, and Jones. Vos punkt the other Yosef ben Shimon, and that's Abayi's teretz to Rabbah, the Abayi lenefila dechad loichashina, that the Yosef ben Shimon of the city lost his shtar, and the other Yosef ben Shimon of the same city found the shtar, and he's bringing it into Bezin. Come on, that's already a little bit far fetched. Loichashina, lenefila de Rabbah, that it fell down an IOU, and then there's another you in the community. Anybody in the community is a member of that Rabbah, says, this was my shtar. Chayshina have to be choyshin me'emes, and this is not his shtar. It really belongs to another you, and not to him. He found it benefit. That should be continued tomorrow. I'm hoping.